I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with PWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, over the next several days, Kenneth is exploring the seven challenging I am statements of Jesus. He's reflected so far on I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world. Today, Ken continues his reflection with the very provocative I am the door statement. Why provocative? Well, Jesus is saying there is no other way to God except through him. With more, here now is Ken with I am the door.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you as we continue with the third in our series on the great I am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. And this is the third one, which is I am the door. And this is found in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Again, as on the previous occasions with the other I am statements, we will need to look into the rest of the chapter to get the whole context of his teaching, in the midst of which he made the statement. So this is not merely going to be a text or a metaphor in itself, but it has to be understood in the context of his teaching there. Jesus had been speaking to the Pharisees at the end of the previous chapter 9, and he had been talking about the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees after he had healed a man who was born blind. And in view of the second I am statement about Jesus as the light of the world, that would have been very appropriate because he was addressing spiritual blindness. Now, as we begin chapter 10 of John's Gospel, we find Jesus proceeding to speak in terms of what amounted to a parable. Although it is not often referred to as such, we can really call this the parable of the sheepfold. Let me read to you from verse 1 of chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So that's the backdrop to this illustration or parable of the sheepfold. Now, what is a sheepfold exactly? A sheepfold is really an enclosure that is fenced in with a single gate to control the entry and the exit of sheep. And from a later reference in the same chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." We find this speaking about God's people on the earth and of the church now. He speaks of one fold and one shepherd, which is one body and one head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Let's continue to read from verse 7 of John 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And then we come to verse 9, which is our text verse for this third I am saying. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Let us first notice two things that are highlighted about the sheepfold. The first is the sheep gate or the door, and this signifies the right of access. When we think or talk about a door, we automatically associate it with the address, the place, the destination or home. So when Jesus said in verse 7, "I am the door or the gate of the sheep," what he's saying is, this is your home. This is your address. This is the place where you have access to me. This is the means by which you can come in and go out. So that's the first thing, the sheep gate. The second thing about the sheepfold is the shepherd. And the shepherd signifies the right owner, just as the sheep gate signifies the right of access. In verse 2, we have read, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And the shepherd of the sheep is the one who owns them. He's the rightful owner. In the first 6 verses of chapter 10, we find Jesus defining what is right access and what is right ownership for the sheepfold. And he does this by establishing in a very objective manner the authenticity and the authority of the one who is in charge of the sheepfold. And notice that in these first 6 verses, he's speaking in the third person. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, he who enters by the door, to him the doorkeeper opens, and so on. It's in the third person. It's about who the rightful sheep owner should be and who is the gatekeeper or the doorkeeper. And the authenticity and the authority is determined by the one coming through the right and the proper gate. All the others are considered robbers or rustlers if they come in via any other way. That's what proper channels mean. And he's not a hired shepherd, but rather an owner shepherd. He's one who knows his own sheep by name and is also known by them through his own voice. As we read in verses 4 and 5, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There is an instinctive voice recognition. Verse 5, "They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is the recognition of one who loves them and leads them. Only after establishing the parameters does Jesus identify himself in the first person as being himself the sheep gate as well as the shepherd. So he moves from speaking in the third person to speaking in the first person. In verse 7, "I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." He doesn't make the claim immediately. He first begins by explaining to them through a parable of the sheepfold. And after they have understood the terms of the parable, he begins to put himself into the parable so that they are gradually led to move from the known to the unknown, which is a very good recipe for teaching. So only now, at this point, does Jesus identify himself in the first person as the door or the sheep gate and the shepherd, as the one who alone is fit to occupy these roles. Now notice there are actually 2 I am analogies in this parable which deal with our salvation. First, I am the door. That refers to admission, the way in. And then there is the aspect of sanctification, which is related to the other analogy of the shepherd, dealing with the way on, how to abide and to continue in him. So these are really 2 related analogies or metaphors, but we shall focus on the first one here, especially in verses 9 and 10. And we are going to leave verse 11, which says, "I am the good shepherd," because this is really the 4th I am statement, which we are going to deal with in the next message. So we'll just note that connection, but we will not jump ahead to consider the aspect of the shepherd. So now back to the door or the gate. The significance of the door is that this is the way in if we are standing on the outside and we have not entered before. It says in verse 9, "If anyone enters by me." This refers to Jesus both as the gate as well as the gatekeeper. And the only way in to the sheepfold is to come through him. In John 14:6, which is another of the great I am statements which we'll touch on later, Jesus said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." So there's only one way through which we must all come into the kingdom of God. There is only one gate and one gatekeeper, through Jesus Christ. It's exclusive. It's not eclectic, which means choosing what seems best. Most people, in exercising their right to choose, would shop around, do their sums, and decide on what seems best for them. This is rationalism applied to religion, but it doesn't work that way. If you want to get into the right place or destination, you had better make sure that you are entering in by the right gate. And for the kingdom of God, there is only one gate. This doesn't mean that God is bigoted or biased or narrow-minded in trying to exclude people, but he needs to be true to himself, and he can only admit those who trust him and have taken him for their savior and their shepherd. Now, I'm sure a savior is more acceptable a term to many people than the savior. The idea of many ways to one God, or even Jesus as one of many gods, is a travesty of the truth. It's not an accommodation of the truth. This is what Satan tries to do in the name of religious pluralism, to deceive many, with the appealing idea that there are many doors and many sheepfolds. This is a kind of do-it-yourself religion. Mix and match, pick and choose, a religion that's customized and calibrated just for yourself. That's really appealing to the modern New Age mind. It means I have found a God that can accommodate me so that I don't have to change anything, rather than having to submit to an omnipotent God and being changed by him. It means I can continue to live in my own castle where I can be my own Lord and King, rather than enter into the kingdom of God where Jesus is Lord and King. But let us ask next, what does this door lead to? What is this door for? It's a door to what? In verse 9 it says, if anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. So it's a door to salvation. And salvation is simply a place of security and sustenance. To be saved is to come into a kingdom where there is protection and there is provision. That's what the sheepfold is. It's something that's open for everyone to see from outside the fold. This is not like the picture of a room or a building. There is nothing hidden, there are no tricks. And all it requires is a simple act of faith and trust to take this simple step of entering in, that's all. People are always looking for something exotic or thrilling or exciting. Well, thrill seekers need not apply, only truth seekers. If you're seeking and you know what you're looking for, you will surely find it, as Jesus promised. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All are accepted and welcome who come by faith, as we have read in the first session in John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. And likewise in the very first chapter, John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. It's understandable if you are hesitant before a door that you have not entered in before. But this is an open sheepfold or a sheep pen. And you can see what life and the conditions are like for the sheep that are inside the fold. And most important of all, you can hear and you can see for yourself the gatekeeper and the sheep owner, the shepherd who looks after the sheep. And that should reassure you and remove all reservations. And if you have reached that point, it's a very simple step of trust and faith to just enter in by the right door. But we notice also that the gate or the door is not only for entry, but it is also for exit. It's not just a door to a new life, but to a full life. There is regular movement in and out of the house or the sheepfold. It would be a pretty miserable existence if we are just confined all the time to the house or to the sheep pen. And this is what I want us to see next. It's not just about new life, but it's about a full life. It's about more abundant life. Notice the references to coming in and going out. For example, in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and listen to this, he leads them out. And then in verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know how excited the children always are when the teacher is bringing them out for an excursion or for a field trip. Again in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And not only saved, it's not just about a new life, but a full life. It says he will go in and out and find pasture. Similarly, in verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly, or life to the full. The word there for abundantly literally means above the common. So, in other words, it's an exceptional life. If you want to have life to the full, if you want to live exceptionally, if you want to live a life that rises above the common, the mundane, and the insignificant, here is good news. The eternal and everlasting life that we have been given, which begins now and which will never terminate, is not a long, drab, and dull existence. It's life to the fullest beyond what you have known before or can imagine. The sheep spent much of their time roaming and grazing in the pastures outside, not inside the fold. The fold is mainly for sheltering them in nights and in winters, when it's dark or when it's cold, and they need a warm and a safe place to come back to. But otherwise, it's the great freedom of roaming the countryside without having to worry about safety or security, because the shepherd is always with them and before them. And a full Christian life is similarly balanced between spiritual feeding in worship, when we are closed up in the closet of prayer or meditation on the Word of God, or in fellowship with other believers, and working out our salvation in the world, where we shine as lights in the world, as we saw in the last program. We are well fed with both fodder in the fold plus pasture in the fields. The Christian life is not a restriction. It's not being caged in or fenced in. It's not a restriction, but liberation. It's being able to go even further than we have previously known or dared. It's not a matter of finding my own pastures or finding my own way or trying to fend for myself, but it's a matter of following the shepherd who leads us there. It's just like children who are secure in the knowledge that their parents are always around watching over them. So instead of being careful, they are carefree, and they would have the time of their lives frolicking in the great outdoors. The first task of a shepherd or sheep owner on acquiring new sheep is to earmark them uniquely for identification. We borrow and use this term as an English expression. To earmark is to make a cut in the ear of a sheep for the purpose of identification, so that when we come across any stray sheep, we can easily trace it back to the owner, because each will have a distinct mark which will differentiate it from the others. And this reminds us of the Old Testament practice with freed slaves. When it came time for the slaves to be freed, they could exercise the option of choosing to remain and to stay and to serve their old master. And the mark of ownership is done by piercing the earlobe against the doorpost to signify that he belongs to his master forever. And this is very much like the earmarking of sheep. And this really is the key to the abundant life that we read about in John 10:10. It's the key of ownership or lordship. Who is our true lord or owner? And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where he asks the rhetorical question, "Don't you know you are not your own, for you were bought at a price?" So if you're looking from outside in and wondering if it's going to be a life of limitation and confinement when you come through the gate into the sheepfold, this is the promise and the word of the Lord, who is the gate and the gatekeeper. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, life to the full. And I pray that you may continue to be refreshed by God's presence and be reached daily by His wonderful word.
I think that statement bears repeating. The key to abundant life is to know we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong brings us part 4 of the I Am Statements. Right now, though, we'd love to hear from you, and here are several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message. The number is 94313813. You can send us a letter, and the mailing address is Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. You can go there to get the latest updates. You can socialize with some of the other folks there. And you can give us your views on the program right on our Facebook page. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. And there you can listen to the program online and also get the latest updates. Times of Refreshing has also launched an iPhone app, and that will allow you to access the broadcast messages and the podcast right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.